would be our theme service, but the weather, you know, got in the way a little bit. So we are pushing, if all goes well, commitment service will be this Sunday. So tell somebody, invite somebody out. Let's get the full house of God here, members here. And then the first Sunday of February, we pray to launch our theme. Hallelujah. And it's exciting what God wants to do. It's not exciting necessarily about us. It's exciting knowing that you are in the will of God. I can be on any road, but so long as I'm on the road that is in the will of God, it is exciting. Because the way and the direction and the leading of the Lord is always right. It is always right. Praise God. Admin team, we will send a text message out, but our meeting is going to be on Sunday following service. So take note of that. Praise God. We are going to talk about something for a few weeks. Now, remember, we're going to do some different things on Wednesday nights. On the first Sunday, the first Wednesday night of the month, I'm going to be taking the youth group to Liberty. And then next week is going to be our act of kindness. So we might meet here, but we're not going to pretty much stay here unless we open up with prayer and then go on our assignment. So, again, I'll be speaking more of that on Sunday, but that would be what would take place next Wednesday night. So we will meet here. Some may just go to their assignments, but we are going to do some ministry outside the four walls on Wednesday night. Praise God. And maybe it'll be some shoveling of some driveways. Who knows the way things are going. Praise God. And then the following week after that, I will not be here. I'm taking the young people to Liberty, but we still will have service, so just be aware of those things. We're going to be, though, talking on a short series about our heart. Our heart is something that is really hard to understand. We have emotions. Sometimes we said that our thoughts are in our hearts. We know that what we speak is what things are in our heart. So we're going to look at our heart for the next few weeks here and pray that we use these things to grow. And I think also the more that we understand ourselves, the better we live our lives in the will of God. If I don't understand why I do what I do, it's hard to do things that I'm supposed to do correctly. I say a lot of times, too, it's not always the what you do, but sometimes it's also the why that you do it. The what can only take you so far. Jesus was supposed to, you know, the what was to die on the cross, but what was more important than the what was the why he did it. He did it because he understood that it was going to be up to him to restore a relationship with humanity. Praise God. Cardiologists use a procedure called an arteriogram to diagnose the health of a patient's heart. It is an X-ray. You probably had this more than once, Brother Wheeler. That takes a picture of the arteries or a dye that goes into the bloodstream that's injected there, allowing doctors to pinpoint any blockages or anything that would be stopping the flow of the blood to the heart. But apart from an arteriogram, a life-threatening heart problem can go undetected for years. An individual with blockage will experience symptoms, but these symptoms may not be directly associated with the heart. So there can be a lot of heart problems going on, but other symptoms don't seem like they're connected whatsoever to the heart. Arterial blockage can manifest itself through back pain, inability to sleep, anxiety, loss of appetite, indigestion, nausea, vision change, even loss of memory. And these symptoms are often treated isolated issues that are unrelated to the root issue, which is the heart. And then dealing with the symptoms never still takes care of the root issue or the true culprit. And then it delays fixing the problem, which allows other things to get worse. Physical heart disease parallels spiritual heart disease. We have another heart. It is the invisible part that the philosophers say and poets say and preachers refer to all the time. It is the thing that got broken in the ninth grade or the 10th grade or junior high school by that oh so precious, what's her name again? What's his name again? I don't remember. That part of you that swells up when your child hits the game-winning three-pointer or kicks a goal in soccer or wrestles someone down and pins them down or whatever you might find interest in your kid doing something great, playing a awesome piano number. Praise God. I'm trying to make sure I hit all my kids too, you know. Devin or Jaden getting a good report from his speech teacher on how well he's doing. Praise God. Your heart swells up with joy. That song you remember back in the day that used to play, you know, that mysterious, wonderful, confusing part of you that enables you to love, to laugh, to fear, and to experience life, the sphere of relationships that we have that sometimes are good and sometimes are bad, and it deals with our hearts. But we also know that it is tempting to treat symptoms that stem from an unhealthy spiritual heart. That in our lives, sometimes it is an actual unhealthy spiritual heart, but we are trying to deal with it in ways that are not even spiritual, ways that are not even allowing us to have a correct heart. And eventually the problem is going to show and manifest itself in different ways. And sometimes you think it's maybe the church is a problem, or the people are the problem, or the music is a problem, or something else is a problem. But yet many times the problem is not in the outside. And sometimes the main problem is going on the inside of ourselves, that we have not yet walked in the way that God wants us to walk in. And it disturbs us. But if we're not attentively in a spiritual manner to be aware that it's our spiritual heart that is the issue, we won't go to the place to fix it correctly. Just as a heart attack has the potential to destroy our body, so a spiritual heart disease has the potential to destroy you and our most valuable relationships. Life in general can be hard, and it's hard on our hearts. There are so many outside influences that constantly are dealing with us and messing with us and stressing us out and causing anxiety and worry. There's so many variables that go on in life. You got kids and grandkids and health and finances and things you're preparing for and things you're trying to accomplish, and sometimes it's dealing with relationships at times, and there's so much chaos that can go on when you're dealing with human beings. And so if your heart is not right, then you can slowly begin to have habits, and your mind can begin to erode in places it should not go to. But if you don't deal with recognizing that our heart can be in the wrong place without submitting ourselves to a heart that says, God, I do need you. The more I begin to walk with God and continue growing God, the more I understand, God, I don't want you. God, I really need you. I don't want to have a heart that says, well, God is some good part of my life. He makes me feel good. No, I'm so far past that. I've lived too long now to understand, God, if I don't have you in my life, I don't have anything. You have to come to a point in your life to where you understand, God, I really need you to survive. I can't even smile except the presence of God is in my life. I can't even walk unless God is holding my hand. And if I'm going to have a good heart, it has to be a heart that knows that God loves me and that I love him. The joy that I have in my spirit is knowing that even when I mess up, I can go to a God that I know who loves me. I can go to my Heavenly Father that will always pick me up. And when I'm not doing well in my heart or in my mind or in my health, whatever it might be, I'm so glad I can go and find a place of prayer and say, Lord, there's something wrong with me, but God, you're the one. You're the greatest heart surgeon that there is. Fix my heart. Fix my mind. Fix my emotions. Fix everything. There's a roller coaster in my life. And I tell you, and you know it as well, time and time again, you can get up and wipe your face and say, something has got a hold of me. And when God touches my heart, and I read the New Testament over and over again, and so many times you see God doing so many great miracles. You see him taking time with the multitudes, and many times the writers would say he had compassion, because Jesus Christ has compassion on everything that we're dealing with.
Jesus Christ can have a lot going on and a lot of people to see, but he understood there's something in his own heart that will always pull for his people. There's something right now that Jesus will take time and say, I have compassion upon your problem, upon your issue, upon your circumstance, upon your need. My heart, God is saying, is right there for somebody whose heart is broken, whose heart is hurting, whose heart is lost. Jesus is the one we have to continue to turn our heart towards. Sometimes the reason why people do not have the right behavior is because majority of people were just not raised according to the word. Most people were taught to monitor your behavior, to squeal or shell out what's really going on, but to be proper and to be respectful and to be polite. And sometimes we can learn a little bit from kids just being honest, because you have to be open about what's really going on in your life. And I hate to tell you, but so many times I'm preaching and more carnal examples come in my mind, but there was a kid cartoon called, I think it's called Joy, if I'm right. And what it is, it's about this little girl who has these five different characters in her mind, and those characters are brought to life. One's anger, one's disgust, one is fear, one is joy, and one is sadness. And then she moved from her home, and they moved somewhere else, and Joy was the main dominant personality of her, but when she moved, sadness was trying to do her job. And Joy kept putting her back, and Joy kept pushing her away, and Joy felt like she was messing things up. But in that moment, sadness needs to show, because the parents need to see how sad her daughter was. But Joy kept coming up, and the story kept saying, sometimes you have to allow your true emotion to come up so the father can deal with it correctly. And so God is saying, I want you to be real with me concerning your trouble and your hurts and your pains. I want you to worship me. Yes, I want you to praise me. But sometimes you must be like Hannah and say, I won't eat until I get a change on the inside of my soul. There has to be moments where you say, Lord, I cannot smile in this context of what I'm dealing with until you come and mend my broken heart. You come and deal with what I am facing on a personal way. Oh, I love the worship and I love to praise God, but God, sometimes I gotta cry out before you and really expose my heart before you and tell you on the inside, I know you're a good God, but what I'm dealing with right now, I don't have the capacity to handle myself. And you gotta know that's okay sometimes. Tell God I'm overwhelmed. Praise God. But it says, when my heart is overwhelmed, right? Lead me to the what? The rock that is higher than I. Oh God, yes, my heart might be troubled, but I'm not gonna hide it somewhere. I'm gonna go to you and I'm gonna pour my heart out before you. And I'm gonna tell you, God, here I am, naked and messed up as I am, but you are the one that can help me and mend me. Because for too long I've been taught to have the right behavior. For too long, I said, if I could just put on the outward appearance and everything is all right. For too long, I was just told to have a facade and to fake it. And that only can go so far. But when I'm going through what I'm going through, I can't fake it anymore. And so, Lord, I don't want to be monitoring my behavior alone. I don't want to just watch my actions and my words. God, you must deal with the things that people cannot see. People can see my outward appearance all day long, but God, they don't see my heart. God, I want to learn how to be honest concerning my heart. I don't want to pretend and ignore the condition of my heart. Because you know what will happen is that in the secret places with the closest people, that's when it's going to reveal itself anyway. And the danger is you can be seen one way in front of people and then another way with your family. Now, I pray with my home, and I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I pray that my family can look at me and say, Dad or husband, he's the same person he is in the house of God, that he still has flaws and all that, but there's still something in him that wants to do right. Because God forbid, any of us be one way in public, but then in private, our family looks at us as a phony. You can't filter yourself all the time. And so if our heart is unmonitored, if our heart is not dependent upon God, then we're not going to be able to even manage our behavior anymore. And you're saying things to people that's closer to you that you really know you should not be saying. and you're acting certain ways, you know you should not be acting. And you are reacting certain ways, you know you should not be reacting, because you have not dealt with, honestly, your heart, and your character is being flawed, and relationships are being severed because you're not being real about what's going on inside of your heart. Have we ever said, I can't believe I just said that. I can't believe I just did that. It's not really who I am. I don't feel like myself. I don't feel like this is me, but I'm living my life a certain way. But you stop and you say, this is not me. This is not who I am. This is not how I want to be. I don't know where these things came from. I don't know what has happened. I'm going to tell you, it's because we have not monitored our heart. When my heart gets secure in God, and his love, and his direction, and his help for me, then I have no desire to hurt you. I have no desire to walk frustrated. If my eyes are on knowing that God is dealing with my heart, I have no problem saying I'm sorry. I have no problem saying I can do better. I have no problem being honest about what I'm dealing with, because I know God is helping me, and I'm exposing it. Because all those things, the negative connotation comes from our heart, which is exceedingly wicked. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? People tell you all the time, follow your heart. That's, if you think about it, that's very dangerous in the mirror of Scripture. Because deceit is one of the dangerous places you can be in. Because when you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. When you're deceived, you're walking towards the wrong way, absolutely thinking that it's the right way. And so if my life is built on following my heart, when the Bible says my heart is exceedingly deceitful, it's a dangerous place to just live my life following what my heart has to say. Our heart can deceive us. Our heart can take us down wrong places. Can I be honest? A lot of people walk with God and get messed up because they follow their heart. They follow their feelings. They follow their emotions. And has nothing to do with what the leading of God had for them. And if you allow your heart to get in the way of listening to the voice of God, if our heart overrides the voice of God, we can find ourselves in more trouble than we asked for. We find ourselves in places that we never anticipated being in. We'll find ourselves being discontent. We'll find ourselves being truly disappointed that things didn't work out the way we want them to work out, because we follow our heart rather than our God and hearing his voice. We all heard the statement, hurt people hurt people. When you're not honest with it, then it's always somebody else's fault why you are in the problem that you're in. Your heart will always find reasons on why you can point the finger on why you feel the way you feel. And I taught you this before. No one can make you feel the way you feel. You have a decision to make in regards to how you feel and how you can change how you feel, if that makes any sense whatsoever. You have to know that you have to be in control of your emotions. You say, well, how do, again, do I do that? You just say, God, I need to have a heart that goes after you. Again, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that's higher than I. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 15, 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they are the things that defile a man. I'm not saying that I never speak negative. I'm a human being as much as the next person, but I really don't like negativity around me, because I know what it does to me. So I'd rather not hear it I'd rather find some way to turn it, to spin it, to find a way to make it positive, because if I'm speaking negative words, guess what's really happening that I may not recognize? It's going on in my heart. There's something deeper going on. And if I live my life speaking negative words or speaking negative thoughts, then it's saying that is a stethoscope of what's going on the inside of me. So let my words, right, the words of my mouth, and the meditation of my soul be what? Acceptable. That means I have to start speaking right things as well to also now to fix my heart. If my mouth is proceeding things that are coming from my heart, then I better pay attention to what I'm saying and then change it if I want to have a change of heart. And that means, God, I got to talk to you a little bit more. That if I'm not speaking the right things, it probably means that I am not aware that I need some heart surgery. But if I'm speaking negative words, and I need to say, okay, now stop there and recognize I need to get connected to God in prayer and let things happen in a spiritual place and be honest with him in that place. God, I got a negative mindset right now. I got negative things going on right now. God, so my heart is being exposed through my negativity. So help me speak different words. Deal with the root issue, what's going on in my life. And you know what God says? I'll keep it simple. My wife's favorite scripture, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord with all your what? Right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Understanding comes from what? Information, facts, truth, reality, circumstances, your environment. All those things want to play into what our thoughts are. And God is saying, throw all those out and don't lean on them. But do what? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust him for what? For the problem I'm dealing with right now is real, and I understand that. I won't lean on that. I'll trust that God will get me through. I'll trust that God will give me strength. I trust that God will uphold me. I trust that somehow, some way, God will get me out of it. But Lord Jesus, help me have a mouth that says, I trust you. Because the more I say, I trust you, I believe that my actions will follow because I'm speaking now what's coming out of my heart. It becomes a two-way street now. And you are in control rather than your environment and your circumstances being in control. Because the majority of people allow their environment to control them. Most people are not thermostats. They're thermometers. You heard that before, right? A thermometer just tells you what the temperature is of a particular situation or environment. But a thermostat sets the temperature. But majority of people are thermometers. Whatever my environment is doing, okay, I gotta guess be that. If everybody's cold, well, I gotta be cold. Everybody's hot, I guess I have to be hot. If my world's upside down, or the world's upside down, okay, mine has to be too. If there's chaos around, okay, it has to be chaos too. And we just kind of, whatever going on, money, whatever, I just follow the flow of whatever's going on. And God is saying, I want to help you in that area. I want you to know I can separate you and your heart and your emotions from what goes on in the world. Because you got to understand, the world is going to keep on spinning around, right? The sun is going to keep on rising from the east and setting in the west. There's always going to be problems. Just expect them. Just expect problems. They're coming. No matter how much you want to avoid the problems are going to come. Things that scare us will rise up. Negative news are going to happen all the time. So God, in that moment, lead me to that rock that's higher than I. Help me to stand on you, Lord Jesus. Help me, oh God, not to be swayed, Lord Jesus. Don't let my emotions run rampant, Lord. Let me go to you and tell you I got fears, I got worries, I got concerns. But, Lord, help me just say that scripture. I will trust in the Lord with all of my heart and lean not on my own understanding. Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Now, the majority of this, we say, I'm not got a problem with blasphemy, false witness, murder. I'm not murdering nobody. Adulteries, no. Well, what was the first one? Our thoughts. A very slim chance any of us murder anybody in this room, unless it's one of our kids that make us mad. I love telling my, I laugh every time I read it. Every time I read the scripture, it says, if you beat them, it would not kill them. And I said, the Bible is so funny. It actually says that. It says, if you beat them, you will not kill them. I remind my kids of that. I said, I can beat you, little lungs, but I don't kill you. No, my kids are good. But out of every heart, so I'm a good man of God. I'm a good woman of God. I'm a good child of God, whatever. I'm not going to murder anybody. I'm not going to have adultery, fornication. I'm not going to steal anything, false blasphemy. I'm not. No, but it might get you and me on that first one. Evil thoughts, because all of us have thoughts that can come to our mind. I wonder if I could, with technology, put everybody's thoughts at different times on the screen. Who wants to volunteer? Why not? You don't have evil thoughts? I mean, why not? You have evil thoughts? You don't want your thoughts up here? So that means the word of God does apply to everybody in the room? Everybody watching? Yes. So nobody's exempt. Because sometimes we'll read that so fast and we'll just skip it. We say, man, we're good. No adultery, no fornication, no stealing. God forbid, blasphemy. What about the first one? Nobody wants your thoughts up here? All right, I'm going to make it easy for you. How about after you got baptized for the Holy Ghost? Come on. Come on. You're good? Are you still? No? You are filled with the Holy Ghost? Baptized in Jesus' name? He said, why lie? Okay, good. So no hands are up. So the Word of God is more powerful than us, isn't it? The Word of God shows us that everyone, you fall underneath this. All of our hearts are wicked. Heart issues make intimacy difficult to maintain because intimacy revolves around knowing and being known. Secrets of our heart can damage us and our relationship with God. So, God, I got to be honest about you, about struggles that I have. I can't hide them. I got to tell God, God, this is the area I need you to help me in. I'm being honest, God, because if I squelch it, if I try to just throw it under the table or the rug, then I'll miss what you want from me. But God, you want me to be the very best I can be, and I can be that by exposing my problems to you and saying, God, deal with my heart. I don't want to wall up, a barrier. Oh, God, no, you can't touch that. I'm good. No, come on in. Come on and deal with this issue I'm dealing with. Come on in and deal with this thing that I can't break by myself. Come on and deal with this thought. Come on and deal with this problem that I have going on because this hatred, this desire that people won't be able to notice on the outside. Because the majority of us walking with God that are prayer warriors, the majority of your outside looks totally fine, doesn't it? I would say majority of us, yes, our outside is perfectly fine. But who did Jesus get the maddest at the most times? It was those that he called whited sepulchers. He says, you are full of dead men's bones. Why? Because you want to keep on keeping your outside clean, but your heart is so evil. It's the things that we can't see that are damaging us the most in Pentecost. So God, help me be real with you. Because if I'm real with you, then I know I fall underneath those piles. Therefore, I got to go to you in more prayer. I don't pray because I'm spiritual. I'm praying because I need to become more spiritual. You see how you got to think about it? Some people, they don't pray because they think they're fine. What are you going to pray for? I'm good. No, 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 no. I've got to pray. I've got to have my heart close to God. I've got to be in his presence because by myself, I'm deceiving myself. Prayer is not a ritual and a time clock thing because I'm a pastor or because I'm a Christian. Prayer is something that I know I got to have because without the presence of God, I would lie to myself. I would deceive myself. But I do know that when I come up out of prayer, everything in my life goes so much better. God leads me. God directs me. God helps me. And guess what? That's where I want to be. Don't you want to walk where God is leading you, where God is helping you, where God is strengthening you? I'm so tired of walking this race by myself. I don't want to walk this race by myself. I want to say, God, where you lead me, I will follow. I want to keep my ears open and sensitive to your leading and your direction. I want to keep myself in a position where I know that you can say, turn left, and I go. I want to put myself and say, God, you know I can't do anything without you, so I'm calling on your name, and I know that you are there with me. You will help me overcome every problem, every struggle, every health issue, every mental issue, every financial issue, every relationship issue. God, every area of my life will be taken care of because I know, God, you are dealing with my heart. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it what? Out of it is the heart. Out of my heart are the issues of life. So I must keep my heart guarded, because if I don't guard my heart, the issues of life don't work out the way I want it to. The New Living Translation says this way, above all else. So the wisest man is telling us a lot of important things you got to guard. But what you better guard is your heart. For it affects everything that you do. Anybody tell you, put your heart into it? Why do they say that? That's right. You're going to work harder when it comes from the inside of you. And if we guard our hearts towards the things of God and God's ways and God's principles, then it also will affect everything that I do. That nothing I do has to be a drudgery. That everywhere I go, my job, my home, can be full of life because I've been guarding my heart. And I can let God speak through it, to speak to me and to lead me. I feel the Holy Ghost. Ezekiel 36:26. What a mighty, mighty prophet, and I thank God that God called Ezekiel to do what he did rather than me. If you read the book of Ezekiel, he had to do some crazy stuff. I mean, some crazy, vile stuff. That's another topic. What he did tell Ezekiel to write down in Ezekiel 36:26, he says, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. The Lord already saw through the lifestyle of those that he called out of Egypt that they were not able in of themselves to live for God the way he wanted them to live for him. So he says, that's okay. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to put my spirit inside of you. What is God kind of reminding us of in that context? That you cannot do this without me. You cannot walk without me. And if you want to be changed, if you want to have a heart that's guarded, if you want to have a heart that's right, if you want to have a heart that is directed, then it must be a heart that comes from me. You must get full of my spirit. You must get full of my presence. You must get full of what I have to give to you, because I will move the stony heart that you had before, and I'll give you a heart that will behave correctly and that will live correctly. There's a saying that says, "Doctor, fix my heart so I won't be so tired. Then I'll exercise." That's kind of what I would actually say right now. Doctor says, "No, exercise and it will fix your heart." So many people want God to do something and then they think that it will get fixed. And God will say no. Says no, you do something and you'll find out I'll fix it. There's some things that can only happen when we're praying to God with a heart that says, "God, my heart needs you." What did David say? "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew within me a right spirit." How long am I going to let people and circumstances that have hurt me control me? How long am I going to procrastinate about really getting serious about effective, fervent prayer? Am I angry with anybody today? Am I wanting somebody to come to me first to make things right? Have I needed to apologize to somebody that I haven't apologized to? Have I secretly celebrated somebody's failure because of jealousy? Is there a hope really on the inside of me? Am I excited about living for God? Or is it something I just do? We're going to talk more about guilt, which deals with "I owe you." We're going to talk about anger, which deals with "you owe me." We'll talk about greed, "I owe me," and jealousy, "God owes me." So we're going to hit more of this as we go through our series. I want you to raise your hands to the Lord right now and say, "Lord, I want you to deal with my heart. I want you to educate me, oh God, on how you want me to have my heart be." What am I saying? God, I want to go deeper about the things that are important to you, Lord, that I can live this year, oh God, differently, Lord Jesus. I want things, oh God, to affect me the way I believe Joseph felt affected. Yeah, he had his times of frustration, but he understood that God gave me something, so everything that happens to me is only leading me to where God wants me to go. I want my life to be that way, God, that whatever happens to me is only doing God's work in my life. Whether that be myself or my enemy or the devil, God, you are always going to allow your will to unfold so long as my heart says, "I want more of you. I want more of your will in my life." And I want you all to understand that every time you pray for God's will and you are praying in sincerity, then you can be rest assured that whatever goes on in your life is your prayer being answered. That's the confidence you got to have in your life, that if you have a prayer time and you say, "God, not my will, but thy will be done," you might feel like a cross is on your back and it's too hard to carry, but I'm telling you, you are going towards the destiny that God has set for you. And I pray that this year, everything that we go through with understanding in our own heart is just a setup. I'm ready for whatever God is orchestrating. I will be confident in knowing that God cannot fail and that God does everything well. So God, keep my heart right. Keep my mind right. Keep me at peace, God. Keep me with joy. Keep me with hope on the inside of my soul. Whatever I go through or face, God, my heart will stay right where it needs to be, which is where you are. My heart will be close to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I will walk, oh God, with a secure heart, knowing I am beloved of God. And that's why John the Beloved laid on the Lord's bosom, because he was confident. I know he loves me. I know he loves me. We all might get separated. There might be a betrayer in our midst, but I'm still leaning on his bosom because I know he does all things well. And I know people might scatter. It won't matter. I know that he loves me. And it doesn't matter what I deal with, no matter how much I get tormented in my life and what island I end up on, I know he's going to reveal himself to me. God is going to reveal himself in a greater manner this year. I believe that with all my heart. And that's what I want. I don't care about numbers. I don't care about that. I just want God to reveal himself. Because when God reveals himself and when God's will is done, everything else just falls in order. Everything else falls in place. So God, what I want is to have my heart connected to your heart. I want myself submitted. Let's pray a prayer of submission right now. God, I submit myself to your will. I submit my heart,